You put the B in LGBT. You put the B in LGBT. Welcome to the Bicast, a podcast for the bisexual community. This is Lynette, and I am joined today by Trev.
Hello.
Hi, and they have the By Any Means podcast, and we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. And, of course, our co-host, John Clark, coming from D.C.
Hey.
And Mick Collins. We were just talking with you last week. He is another one of our co-hosts, and he is also a writer, and we'll talk about that, too. How's everybody doing?
Doing good.
Good. First, before we get started, Trev, can you tell us about your podcast a little bit?
Oh, yeah, sure. It's basically, it used to be a twice a month show, but now that I have some time, it's a weekly podcast where I interview bloggers and writers and activists that I like, talking about the intersections between social justice and secular humanism. You know, I talk to people from, it's not just a bisexual podcast, you know. I think only so far I've had one white, cisgender, straight man, no, two white, cisgender, straight men on my show. Most of my other guests are like women, people of color, transgender people, people in the LGBT community. So, yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, so like the real world then.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. I was on last, was it last week?
Yeah, you were.
Yeah, it was great. I had a really good time. Thank you for that.
Sure, no problem. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me.
Sure. And Mick, we, of course, want to talk about your book.
Yay.
Yay. So one of my favorite books in the world. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. It's called Night She'll Overtake. It's essentially a detective story with monsters in it. It's
cool monsters.
Well, and monsters are fun to write, especially when you just throw them out as regular everyday citizens. So then you force your characters to have to interact with them just kind of normally. And it's, you know, the lead is a female shapeshifter who is not real happy about it and deals a lot with, like kind of Lovecraftian type monsters. And, you know, it's very noirish, which I think is always kind of fun. So yeah, I'm starting to really kind of kick up my campaign about getting it out there. I've done a couple interviews already with it, and I'm actually thinking about maybe conning some people into doing an audiobook version of it in the future.
Cool.
So, yeah,
that'd be great. It would be a fun book to be audio. Excuse me, guys. I'm getting over kind of a thing here. So, yeah, and you're also in the process of writing another book, so I can't wait for that one. And that is a little bit more about sexual orientation. So, you know, we're kind of watching out for that one to come up. We need more books from the male identified in our community. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that one. Actually going through and kind of deconstructing it right now, because I actually had a publisher who told me why they weren't going to take it for once. They told me, you know, hey, if you strengthen this, or, you know, this is where its weak spots are, then, you know, you have better luck with it, which you don't get that sort of feedback. And so when I got that email, I mean, it was still a rejection. So, yeah, it was kind of depressing, but it was just pure gold, because now I can go back and know where people are looking at it going, yeah, this isn't going to work, and go fix it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You don't get that kind of help.
No, it's rare. Great. It's usually form letters. Sorry, we're not taking it at this time.
Sorry.
Yeah, and you're just like, why?
Why? Tell me why you don't love me.
Exactly.
So we're all here today to kind of just kind of catch up with everybody and talk about Bi Week, which was a resounding success. How was your guys' week? Let's start with Mick. We kind of talked about there's not much going on in Texas, and we'll talk about Texas again here in a few minutes too.
Yeah, there wasn't much going on around here, and honestly, the last 2 weeks I've been so busy with work, I don't even know if I could have really participated much if I tried. But yeah, there's, as far as bike community out here, it's kind of sparse.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if we could get some more activity. Yeah, Texas is kind of on my shit list right now, so.
Yeah, well, it's on, it's usually on most people's shit list.
Yeah.
Most of the time, just because it's Texas, just for GPs.
Yeah, well, isn't it Texas that is, like, not setting up voting booths? Or, no, that's not it. It's the driver's license.
That's Alabama.
Oh, that's Alabama.
Well, you know,
Texas, Texas is the one with the book, with the McGraw-Hill book that calls slaves brought over, calls them workers and puts it under the immigration thing. That's,
that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should put in links, actually, since we're talking about Texas. There's actually a good piece in HuffPo basically about a bike guy who left New York City and went to Texas and is like has to be back in the closet because he's in Texas. So that's a good, it's actually a pretty good piece. It comes after, you know, I mean, we're seeing a lot of articles after Celebrate Bisexuality Day and Bi Week coming out, which, you know, this is why we do this.
Yeah, it's been like this
floodgate. Yeah, this is one that, at least got shared around to the men's group on Facebook.
I don't think we've seen it, but you should share it with us, the rest of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's the floodgates have opened. I mean, you know, Ivan Rachel Wood was like right out there on Twitter going like, this is the way it is, and this is why I'm bisexual. And she was just like completely awesome. And, you know, I just want to, I wish I could thank her and give her a big kiss. Well, I'd want to give her a big kiss anyway, but.
Get in line.
But yeah. Right. And as far as Texas, there's some heroes down there. Monica Roberts is up there just dealing with that hero thing. And, you know, I give her big kudos for that. So yeah, there's good people in Texas. I guess I shouldn't rag on everyone. let's see. Who should we go to? John. How was your bye week?
You know, I mean, we, you know, we kind of hosted everybody.
Yeah.
There was a pretty good, we had, I think, a really good turnout for our event on the 22nd at HRC. I was glad to see a lot of our local members come in. I guess you met a few of them.
I did.
But you actually had people that you didn't see or, probably didn't get a chance to touch base with. And then we actually had a happy hour on the 23rd in Northern Virginia, which, you know, it is like, I tell people there's a whole different crowd that comes out to those kind of events because a lot of working class people in the DMV, which is the District, Maryland, Virginia, what we locals call the, capital region. It's like that's where people can live is way, way out in the exurbs of Northern Virginia. And so we have a whole crew that's actually very much more diverse and has better class diversity than who we can usually turn out in DC. So
that was one of the weird things I saw. For anybody who doesn't know, I actually was able to be in DC for bye week and it was completely awesome. I did miss the 23rd event because I was on the plane all day trying to get home. It was a long flight home. One of the things about the HRC event was fantastic, but it did lack a little diversity. You know, that's kind of one of the things I noticed in the pictures is that here we're in the middle of D.C. and there's a lot of white people.
D.C. proper is, man. I mean, the only black person in D.C. is the guy who lives at 1600, I say.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, it's actually a little better than that, but it is like, you know, I mean, D.C. used to be Chocolate City. It's got a majority white population now. And, you know, it's not just that it's not just race. I mean, it's class diversity that we don't have anymore in D.C. proper. I mean, our class diversity is out here in PG. It's in Northern Virginia. You know, it's not in D.C.
So it's kind of like Portland now. It's, or how Portland's always been. It's kind of funny. I mean,
Well,
downtown Portland is really not very diverse when you're running around down there. Anyway, yeah, the HRC was very encouraging, pretty moving. It was some pretty moving stories came out of it. I felt encouraged with the dialogue that came from HRC. That was great. Yeah, it was a pretty good atmosphere.
Well, we've done now events there in around CBD the last 2 years, and basically I pinged Beth and said, "Hey, man, we've done it 2 years. Let's do it every year." And she gave us a guarantee that we have that space on the 20 around the 23rd forever, hopefully.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
For now.
Guys, let's just clarify for everybody. You're talking about Center By. John works with the Center By, which because it's part of the DC Center, which is LGBT, right? So,
yeah.
Are you there? Yeah, and he works heavily with them. So that's what he's talking about. Center By actually was one of the hosts for the HRC event, so it was cool. You're cutting out.
And you know, it just, you know, we had things that happened at that event, like the mayor's office. Typically, one of the things that we've done for the last few years now is the mayor's office on LGBT issues has sent a director to issue a proclamation for celebrating Sexuality Day. They did not show this year, and so we basically are going to meet them and basically talk about. And it's been a change of administration. You know, Gray administration was much more proactive when it came to LGBT issues than it seems this new administration has been so far. It's not just the bisexual community. We're seeing more hate crimes in D.C. and the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Unit doesn't seem to be very responsive, and there's been a lot of turnover there. In fact, like just Monday, I think it was Monday or Tuesday morning, there was a trans woman who was stabbed multiple times, and we only knew about it because the community issued a statement.
It was not in the news or anything.
Well, no, and it did make, you know, it is now because the community has responded to it. But I mean, we had a murder of, well, not disclosed, but basically someone who was behaviorally bisexual about 9 months ago, and there hasn't been any real follow up. And there's also been a rash of hate crimes. There was actually one out here last summer on the metro system, which actually the metro system did a really good job in apprehending the guy. There's been some street crime that are hate crime and internal community kind of hate crime here where, you know, lesbian attacks a gay man kind of stuff. And you know, the bi community is only one piece of, like, some of the dysfunction that we're starting to see in the district government. So, you know.
Well, we need to get that repaired. So it's time to work on that and get that repaired. So, let's see. Trav, what do you think about how bi week went? What were you up to?
Well, I think I broke the internet with my article called FYI, Freddie Mercury Was Bi.
I know, and it was so great. Yeah, it was really, it went everywhere. It was fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, wow. I think that was like the first article I ever wrote that went like crazy viral. You know, I kept thinking, well, now that I'm internet famous, when am I going to get paid for this?
Yeah, you need to get paid for this. There you go. That's the cue. So, yeah, we'll put a link in there to that. And, you know, that I don't know if that came from what happened last week or during the week, but I'm hoping it did because there was a lot of identity politics and policing happening over the whole Freddie Mercury being bi thing, you know. And people seem to forget that, you know, people like Rock Hudson and Liberace never said they were gay, you know. But, you know, everybody pretty much knows they were gay, and nobody questions that. But if you even mention that somebody might have been bisexual, it's like, oh, you can't say that because, you know, they never said that, you know. And it's very frustrating for us. So yay for you. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you. And actually, the article did kind of come in the heels of the whole, you know, didn't actually like fat bottom girls, still did his job anyway meme, you know?
Yeah, I know. It was like, yeah.
It was perfect timing because it was right before, you know, bye week, and I thought, oh, this is what I'll do for bye week. I'll write about this ridiculous meme, and then also segue into talking about why bisexual visibility matters and tie it all up, and I guess it worked.
It did. It was a great article. Did you guys have a chance to read it?
Not yet, no. There was so many Freddie Mercury things going on with all the memes, I honestly thought it was another meme, and so when I went back to go read it, I couldn't find it.
we'll link it up so you can.
Cool, yeah, it's really
yeah.
good.
Yeah,
I know.
I did read it. Yeah, you know, it's like, you can be bisexual and not like fat bottoms on anybody, or like fat bottoms on it, or some people, you know? It's just like... But, you know, to me, it kind of kicks me like, I don't want to see Kim Davis's name, face, anything about her anymore on the internet. And this was like one of those kind of memes that was kind of that, you know, does their job kind of thing. And it just like, we focus so much on negative energy. And, my God, you don't get much more negative energy than the whole Kim Davis debacle.
Yeah,
that is very, very true. I think, I guess the Vatican has issued a statement. Is that true? That no, they did not request a private meeting with Miss Kim Davis. She got snuck in during a group thing or something.
Yeah, but, you know, so does it matter?
No, it doesn't matter.
I mean,
it really doesn't matter.
And it certainly does matter to... I don't know, at least a good number of my Facebook friends and a few of my actual friends who also are on Facebook. And I just keep saying, it's like, I'm so tired. I'm so tired of fixating on negativity. And, you know, and I think like segueing into that, I think that, one of the criticisms I heard around, this last week was, that we weren't focusing as much on celebrating as we should be, right? And we were.
I don't know. I celebrated quite a bit.
I'm talking about what I get back from people that are in the community.
Okay, well, I don't know. You were talking to different people than me because we all had a really good time and we looked like we were celebrating pretty good. You know, we do have issues we need to talk about. So anyway, so let's talk about the celebrating that we did because I did a lot of that. I was at the White House, which was monumental. There was probably, I think there's probably, depending on who you talk to, there was over 90 to over 100 of us there. And believe me, we had a good time. You know, and no, we didn't have any wild parties and people weren't drinking all over the place, but we had a really, really good time. It was nothing like being with that many bisexuals who, you know, really make you feel good, really, really good. So we have a new name for a group of bisexuals. It's called A Blessing of Bisexuals.
Nice.
I like it a lot. We got a lot done, too. Quite an experience going through the checkpoints and everything at the White House. That's pretty trippy. Yeah. We had submitted public policy briefings that was put together by Heron Greensmith, Dr. Harry Kuti, Lauren Beach, and some other contributors. And
yeah, Dr. Dodge.
Dr. Dodge, who was incredible. When someone I can't really give details, but he pushed back on some misinformation that was put out. A couple people did. Elliot did too. It was fantastic. So, It was great. It was just really great. Anyway, they'll be publishing those later, and it talks about what we need to do with our community, all kinds of different things, data collection, everything, media, our mental health. Yeah, so those will be great when they come out. You can read them. Gosh, so much happened. Yeah. And so in the community, everybody seemed to be celebrating. There were so many articles that came out, just fantastic articles. It was a real big thing of support. Reprint by Any Other Name came out on the 23rd by Visibility Day. And it's been updated with a new intro. So you guys go buy it.
Yeah, probably won't make the show, but there's a reading in New York City this week. I think it's tonight.
Yeah. AJ Walkley's going to be there, so yeah. That's going to be pretty cool.
And also in Philly, I think this is this weekend too, is a reading of Recognize.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah. So, things are still going on. And, you know, I will say that Recognize, it's a year old now, but it's still got, there's still a lot of men that need to read that book.
Yes. Yes, that's very, very true. There's a lot of people that need to read that book. You know, a lot of people. They also, didn't Dr. Hirokuchi write a play, and they did the play too this
There was a reading last week in New York. I think it was on last Saturday night.
Yeah, My Brother's a Keeper. That was a pretty good deal. Yeah. Well,
I mean, it's the kind of stuff that I think, like, the East Coast Strip, we need to organize a little bit better regionally and try to get some of that stuff coming down the 95 corridor.
Yeah, that'd be great. Well, we need a lot of work over here, too, but... the LA Bi Task Force did their annual arts festival and had a panel with some really cool people on it. You know, they had, Carter Manning, RJ Aguirre, who are YouTube guys, YouTube sensations. Dr. Mimi Hong was on, and Jace was on there, and a couple other people, right? It was a good panel. Good show. They had a big turnout, too. All of these, there was a huge turnout for all of them. And, we did stuff locally, too, that was pretty cool. I guess the Bi Brigade, I was gone, but the Bi Brigade did a Sunday brunch, and they had their regular Bi-Pen meetup. And then they did something at, I'm not sure if they did karaoke or not, but they did do another event that, it had a really good turnout. It was a bar event, so... People were celebrating everywhere. It was great. We got national coverage for it. It was fantastic.
Cool.
Yeah. Good year. Good year this year. A lot of hard work went into that. Oh, I forgot to talk about after we came out of the White House. Yeah, we were just standing around. We were going to take a picture outside, all of us outside the White House. And these... people with bullhorns, were standing there with their big signs saying, the Pope is the Antichrist and we're all going to burn in hell. And they were chanting, with the bullhorn with this. And so, we all kind of just went over there and we're chanting, we are the B and LGBT and screaming bisexual as loud as we could around them. It was much fun. It was a blast. And they kind of wondered.
Those are the kind of people I warned you about that you'd see around Lafayette Park. It's funny. Yeah. Those three guys always greet us from the metro station to Nats Park. And, my favorite quote back at them, and I get high fives all the time, is Bill Hamid saves. He's our keeper at DC United, and he's probably the best keeper in MLS. And of course, Ashlyn Harris, who is probably one of the best keepers in the women's national league. I'll also, usually if it's a woman they have a few women that tell us that we're all going to hell. And I used to always get high fives from all the fans because, all of our local DC fans know who our goalkeepers are for our respective men's and women's teams.
Yeah, well, you know, they were just, and so they wandered away for a while because we kind of outdid them. And then they came back and started screaming. I guess they must have read some notes or something. Started screaming, you know, we were all sodomites and, you know, all da-da-da-da-da. And so we just started, you know, chanting even louder and throwing the peace signs up. And then they started quoting scripture, which, you know, Deborah Kolodny, you know, was like, no, you got that wrong, honey. You know,
but they're just really crazy, crazy people.
Well, they are.
And, you know, it is like, there's a whole lot more people selling that hat going toward the stadium than there are those crazy people. And they're the same ones. That is their occupation, screaming at everybody. And, you know,
I want to thank them for being there because it really gave me a real shot in the arm. It's like, yay, we're doing something, you know?
Yeah.
And all the other tourists are like, yay, this is great. Yay. You know, cause you know, I'm sure they were irritated too. You know, and then we got the Secret Service came out and was milling about us. And, you know, one of the Secret Service bomb dogs was, you know, sniffing my walker. And I was highly amused by that.
Well, you are from Portland. You know what they say about Portland now?
that was the other Portland. And that was only, three of them.
I don't know. More of them
come from, training at Bowie than from Portland.
Well, it was a lot of fun. It just really was. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I hope that those guys with the signs have, a file open on them because, you know, those are the kind of people that in this town, we really have to worry and watch out for, you know?
No, he had one of the policemen, not a Secret Service guy, but, well, I don't know. He had on a vest, you know, started kind of wandering over to us. And I, you know, somebody said, can't you do something about them? They go, say they're not breaking any laws. There's nothing we can do. But, you know, you could see the bad look on his face. It's like, oh, brother, you know.
probably, I don't know which jurisdiction you were in, but, like, if you're in the park police is jurisdiction.
Well, we were right outside the White House. We were in the park.
Well,
we were on the street.
That would be Uniform Secret Service monitors Pennsylvania Avenue.
Yeah, that's who they were. They weren't park people. They were, you know.
Uniform Secret Service. That's why that place is closed off. That's a, you know, that's become a security district.
Yeah, you know, and it cracked me up because they had on the bulletproof vest and it said Secret Service across them. And I'm going, yeah, that's real secret.
Well, you know,
it was amusing to me.
I mean, you know, under this administration, we've had lots of attacks over the fence. And there's been some real serious episodes. So, you know, I mean, I tell people, you know, not too many years ago, we were throwing blood and coffins over the White House fence and it was just civil disobedience and people went and got $100 fine for it. You cannot do that anymore.
No, they take everything real serious now. Wasn't this the administration where somebody landed their little thingy on the lawn or something?
So that was Capitol. And that was actually a mailman delivering letters. I mean, that's, you know, I don't think he really understood how to do it, but he really tried to make, the Capitol Police aware that he was going to do this. And obviously they didn't get the memo. you know, he actually flew, a bicycle, powered, helicopter onto the Capitol lawn with letters for all the reps. So.
Well, it was fantastic, and because of financial support from the organizations, in particular Binet, I was able to go, and other people were able to go. So it was kind of it was historical that we were able to get so many people there, because you know, everybody knows most of us would not have been able to afford to go. So. Yeah, it was great. But there was some people I wish I could have been there, but they weren't. But, you know, we were all there in spirit with them. So it's great. I could just keep saying it's great, but Anything else stick out in you guys' minds about bi-weeks this year?
Well, yeah, I'll chime in. You know, I shared the Peace and the Good Men project, which I thought was really good. And it didn't really get promoted within the community. That's another piece. And I would like to see, I would like to see more male perspectives coming out. Cause, you know, I tell everybody, only 12% of us are out. In fact, in terms of any LGBT population, bi men are the least likely to be out of the closet. And, I mean, so many of our health problems come directly from the fact that we are hidden and we don't have the Hollywood stars and the, you know, and the bloggers and everything else that, every other community has. And the few times that we are able to put our perspectives out, you know, they don't get out there like others do. So I would like to see more of that in the coming year.
For the next year. Let's put that on the list.
Yeah.
You know, that would be good. Yeah. Definitely. I agree that, it is one of the issues that we need to deal with. Like I tell people, you know, these men, male identified, you know, they are husbands and fathers and raising children, and you need to be conscious of what their mental health is about. You know, that doesn't make sense, but I know it makes sense because of my dad, who was terribly had a terrible life, and you know, not just because he was a closeted bisexual, but he had other issues too. I think it would have been easier for him if he was able to, you know, accept that part of him and not feel like he was an evil person. So, yeah, I get it. It affected me deeply.
That's a good example of just how important that aspect of it is, and getting more, you know, more out there for that will help more of these guys actually be able to come out and not only deal with that, but any other issues that they may be facing.
Yeah, because it's a snowball of thing. They all get wrapped up together and get worse and worse and worse. And, you know, my father, you know, eventually couldn't take it anymore and just, you know, ended it. So, yeah, not good.
Yeah.
I was 28, though, but still, you know, it affects you.
No, it's rough. Yeah.
Deeply.
Yeah.
And you know, it also is that we probably need to have more resources to work closeted communities too. You know, I find it like through my years and years of organizing and trying to work with closeted bi male communities, there is nothing but peer support available. And you know, and they're, you know, I tell people all the time, these are communities that are pretty much hidden in plain sight. I always talk about there used to be a website for closeted bi men, and if you brought it up in a web browser, it said sports talk. Yeah, so you know, the idea was that the wife or somebody could bring up the browser history and not know that this is the bi man who is talking about their issues closeted. And, you know, those places were really just hidden in plain sight, and they're still out there. There are communities out there today that just, like I said, don't get any support or resources. And, you know, and that's one of the ways to bring people out is to go into the closet and to bring people out of it. And
yeah,
and some people aren't going to want to come out. And I think like reading that HuffPost piece, really gives you an understanding of why some bi men will not and cannot safely be out of the closet where they're living. And that should be okay too. You know?
Yeah. No, absolutely. You know because
even though,
you know.
Yeah. Even though we need people to be out, we should also recognize that not everybody is going to be able to come out, even if they want to, even if they were out at various points in their lives.
Yeah, and we need to be, you know, help protect them too, because there's reasons, and you know, everybody's in a different place on their journey, and some people never come out, and some people just can't right at the moment for many reasons. So you know, they can't be condemned for that. You know, we just have to make sure they're safe, right, and give them all the information we can.
getting resources, you know, getting resources into the closet is really important.
This is Margaret Cho, and you're listening to the Bicast, podcasting for the bisexual community.
Well, I'm hoping for next year because our stats haven't gotten any better. And, you know, especially I'm really concerned about our trans community and our youth. The suicide rates and the violence are just haven't gotten better. And I'm hoping by next year, because from what we can do this year, we can do something about that, you know. Because all of our community is in big trouble. Our violence rates against women and men have not improved. And hopefully this public policy thing will help with that, too. So,
well, you know, I don't know. I look at it a little differently. I look at it as like we're exposing things that are always been. And
yes,
like
exactly.
It's not like things are getting worse. In fact, you know, I mean, I look at it as someone has been out for an awful long time. And I hate to say to people that are just coming out and are dealing with their coming out experience that it's actually a whole lot better than it was 20, 30 years ago. But but it's
the coming out experience, right?
Well, I'm saying just in general, I think that I think that the reason that we're seeing all these statistics is because they're now being collected. And
I agree with that. And I'm not saying that it's worse. I was saying that it hasn't improved from last year at all,
well,
as far as I can see.
As far as
violence against trans people, I don't see an improvement in that. I don't see there being less violence against, you know, the trans members of our community, you know. And as far as the suicide thing, I think that's about the same. I think we're getting more reports of it accurately about our community. That's something we never had before.
We're getting more. There's more visibility about the issues than there ever has been. And I think that one of the problems that I fear is that we get lost in so much negativity that we don't see this as almost a positive that we need to, we actually have statistics that we can go back and we can now say, these are the things that are not getting addressed that need to get addressed.
Well, that's, you know, what I'm saying too. That's what I think the whole White House meeting and everything we've done through the entire year has brought us to that point. We can talk about these issues with data and with, you know, knowledge and say, this is what we need to do. What can we do to fix this? So, what I want to see happen next year.
Well, you know, it's funny because, and it wasn't really recognized, but like one of the authors of the San Francisco Human Rights Commission study was one of the speakers at the HRC event. And I remember that study. It came out in 2011, and it really was one of the kicks in the butt to the entire LGBT community, to public health services, that we're not being addressed. And I think that, like, since from 2011 to today, there's a lot more work that we can do, but I'm seeing a lot of positive addressing of our issues now.
Oh, yeah, me too. You know, this is the year that HRC put out the bisexual youth report. You know, there was good stuff that happened, you know, a lot of good stuff all year long. It was a very productive year, you know. We had a lot more visibility on what's happening with us, and I think that was helpful. A lot of, this was the year that we had, like, I don't know, what was it, 2,000 people over a period of one weekend, I think it was 2000, joined Point at USA Facebook group. You know, just, it was all weekend long. That was a lot of people. And that was because Lizzie the Lizzie put out a link, said, you know, here's a great place to go if you're bisexual. And boy, did they ever come. It was a long weekend, but it was great. So, yeah.
Well, getting our resources throughout our community, and that's the kind of ways that our allies really help us, is to give us some space in order to, like, attract those bisexuals who rarely have much to see within the community toward our resources and toward our community.
Yeah, so I invite everybody to go check out Bi-Week. We have a lot of those resources listed there. So, yeah, that'll be helpful. So Have a Gay Day did pretty good for Bi-Week. I was pretty excited about that. Yeah.
And now we're in October, and it's LGBT History Month, and Spirit Day is coming in a couple weeks. And like you said, I mean, we actually have a HRC book from a year ago that we can use when we're talking about Spirit Day this year.
Yes,
it really focuses on bi and non-monosexual youth and the issues that they're facing. So we need to print out that book so we can hit some of the other parts of the community with it.
Yeah, I grabbed a bunch from when I was at HRC, and you know me, I got to grab everything, so I'm going to be taking those down to the Q Center and passing them out there. What was I going to say? I don't know. I lost my train of thought already. Mm-hmm. Easy thing to do.
That's why we have
also
editing.
Oh, editing, yes, my favorite friend. Oh, Quist. Has a thing coming up here in October to everybody can put in history information. And so I was hoping our bisexual community would join in with that. I'll leave a link in there. They're looking for more information, history stuff. So yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
and anybody not familiar with the Quist app, it is a LGBTQ history app, right?
Yep. And we've also done an interview with Sarah. She had a good piece in The Advocate today, so we should post that too. The HRC is interested in forwarding bisexuals from history and using that for this month's history.
I really felt like we got a lot of good feedback from HRC. I want to thank Beth Shiros, who is on the HRC staff, who is also openly bisexual. She has done some great things there. So yay for you, dear. Yeah, very encouraging. We had a lot of very good support this year. Very open and helpful.
And it is a change. I mean, just from that event, I mean, I saw leadership from 3 different Gay Inc. organizations at that event. And
it's
very rare that we see that. And it's a change. This is like, you know, 10 years ago, 5 years ago even, we weren't getting that kind of support. And, you know, it's just a real positive. Well, it's come back around again, and we just need to take advantage of it. We're in an upswing cycle.
Yep, let's jump on it.
Well, you know, it's funny. It's like years with the fives in it. Like, it's kind of a 20-year and a 10-year cycle. Mm-hmm. Like, on the 20-year cycle, we're ups. I mean, like, you know, around 93, 95 was a really good time for us. 75 was a pretty good time for us. On the other side, like 85 was a horrible year. 2005 was a horrible year, especially for bi men, because, you know, that was the year that the New York Times Gay Straight or Lying came out.
Oh yeah.
You know, I hope we're prepared for 2025, because we're in a much better shape to deal with the down year.
Okay. I'm not even sure I'll be here, but I'll put it on the calendar. Yeah. All right. I don't know if I have anything else to say, because most of it's pretty much covered it, right?
Yeah. Anybody else?
No.
I don't think I have anything else to contribute.
No, I think everyone said everything that needed to be said. It's good that we're starting to get more recognition. We still got a long ways to go, but as John was saying, a lot better than it has been in the past.
It has. We've seen improvements in commitments. It's not exactly better, but I mean, a lot better, a lot more supportive than we saw the previous year. So that was very engaging to me. You know. They were feed trolls, but, you know, as far as public, it seems to be gotten quite a bit better.
Well, yeah, I'll just chime in to end it that, you know, I'm trying to focus on the positive, and I think one of the positive aspects of the bisexual community is its heterogeneity and the fact that, I mean, we're intersections. Lots of us are bi and something else. And so to target unmet needs, I mean, a lot of times being bisexual means we're also connected to some other unmet community needs, be it youth, be it people of color, et cetera, be it the working class, which, you know, like, you know, the studies that show that we're, you know, in terms of LGBT communities, we're high in the poverty rates. So, you know, I think that Gay Inc. is starting to understand that, you know, they really need to be talking to us because we open a lot of doors just from who we are.
Exactly, because we are such a so diverse. I mean, you know, we can talk about age and disability and all kinds of things, and, you know, gender diversity, which, you know, we recognize and celebrate. You know, and I think we are a great learning tool for people, you know, for the other communities.
But by not means too. I'm sorry, I had to say that just to be. We can
still
talk about that in another episode. How's that?
Let's do that because I'm in a good mood.
We've talked about that. I mean, we've talked about that since till we're pink, blue, and purple in the face.
Yeah, I was going to say that too. Pink, blue, and purple in the face. Yeah. Yeah, let's concentrate our energies on what we can do there we go. So we know what we are. We just keep saying it. There we go. You know, that's the way it is.
I'm cool with the bi plus myself. You know, and if we want to use the bi plus, you know, I don't care which way we go, but, like, you know, it's just.
You don't care which way we go, huh?
you know, I mean, but, you know, it to me, it is like, that just fixes it.
Well, I think so, too. You know, and that's my feeling is the bi plus pretty much, you know, is inclusive of everyone. There's been, you know, pushback on it, but there always is on everything, so.
And every one of us has our own individual orientation within the bi community. And, And you know, all should be respected in that. And that's kind of where we come from. And that's another positive.
I think that's the beauty of our community, because we are able to recognize that and embrace it. You know, because I'm bisexual, but I'm also demisexual, you know, and that's part of me.
Right. And that is, like, way back when, when Stephen Donaldson was fighting in the battles in the Gay Liberation Front in New York City, the reason he left was because one of the struggles was about gay ghetto, gay identification versus, you know, we are everywhere and that this is really a sexual liberation movement. And I think that, you know, I think those are the things that we also have to push in terms of, like, are positive.
Yes.
Indeed.
Agreed.
Indeed.
Agreed. Well, it's been fun, guys.
Going back to what you're saying. I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, going back to what John was saying and what you were saying about Bi Plus, on a couple of Facebook groups I'm a part of, like, there's this one Facebook Transgender Alliance where, like, for Bi Visibility Day, I typed in, you know, where are my bisexuals at? And a couple people said, I'm pansexual. And I said, you know what? For Bi Visibility Day, I stand with all my pansexual comrades. And they were like, oh, okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'd rather not fight. I identify also as pansexual. And it was very funny to just, like, At the parade this year, we had a young woman come up to us. You know, we're in our bicolors and we got our banner, and she was like, "So where is the pansexual group?" And I'm like, "You're looking at it." And I pointed to our banner, which actually has pansexual in all the identity names that we include in our main banner. So it's like, you know, we're already there. And we've all been already there. And it's like, this is a new thing to me. And it's like, and I would just like to get over that hump and let's get back to work.
Right.
Let's get back to work. Exactly. You know, I think these are like bombs that, you know, get set in front of us so we get distracted as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
You know, so, hey, let's go on and onwards and upwards. I've seen some really strange things posted about, you know, some real misconceptions and myths that I always wonder, where does this come from? Who's telling these people this, you know, because they absolutely believe it, you know, and I'm just like, this is coming from somewhere, you know.
Well, it's ahistorical because, I mean, you know, the trans bi community links have existed all the way back. And if you go through any of our histories, you will find that, and you will find trans bisexuals who aren't even identified as bi in leadership going way back to the beginnings. And
well, you know, there was a time when these words didn't exist. The language wasn't there. That didn't mean that the people didn't exist. It just meant that we didn't separate out into all these different labels and identities. You know, it was called something different, you know, or wasn't called anything at all. So, but we've all always been there working together. You know, so it's kind of strange to see, you know, this animosity, which is, you know, never been there before, as far as I know.
That's the weird thing about when you start adding labels to things, and then labels are used for identification, so we understand how things go, but then for some reason, people like to use those labels for excuses for division, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I just keep thinking we're more than our names. You know, this is just to help us understand why are we, you know, some people put way too much on a label. And when it's nothing more than just a learning tool, you know, at least that's the way I see it.
Yeah, it's a learning tool. And for our community, it's absolutely vital as far as, you know, doing what we've been doing to get, like, funding and, you know, recognizing our problems and, you know, building a community where people can say this is my people here, because we haven't had that, where we've had it in, you know, small groups, and but it has not been like internationally there is this huge bi community thing, and you know, I think it's very important for that. But yeah, you're right, we are more than our labels, so much more. We are our labels and so much more.
Yeah, well, it is when it becomes identity politics, and I think that that's one of the problems that we're seeing, not just in LGBT communities. I think we're seeing, like, we're in basically a cycle of hyper-identity politics right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, and these things go around and come to pass. And, you know, I think it is youth mainly who, like, I keep saying, you know, people – every generation wants to reinvent the wheel, and some generations get hung up on what color is supposed to be. And I think that right now we're in that, you know, like this reinvention of the wheel, and people are really focusing on what color it's supposed to be rather than actually how to use it for transport.
Well, you know, and that is not new. When I remember when I was young, I needed to identify with something. And I think that, but I, you know, I had more connection with the world than there is now. I think there's a lot more disconnect. So I think it becomes almost even more vitally important to be able to identify. And, you know, people get quite, you know, entrenched in their identity and what this is the way this is and this is the way this is. And I think that's part of it. I think it is. There's such a disconnect. People kind of glom onto things and say, this is what you are, this is what I am, and this is who I belong. This is my end of the schoolyard. You know, I get the swings, you get the, you know, you get the slide, you know, and never the twain shall meet. I guess it might be oversimplifying it.
Part of it. And it's also that, you know, we go between these movements of unity movements and identity movements.
Yeah.
I think, like, probably the best, the last best unity movement was getting Obama elected the first time. And I think a lot of identities felt that he didn't do what they wanted him to do and what they, you know, and why they put so much blood and sweat out for his campaign. And we're, that's why we're coming back around to this again. And it, it will play its way out. And, you know,
it will. Yeah, it will.
We have, we basically have to go back to our empathy and understanding, like, our own oppression and how other people are oppressed, and seeing that, you know, and seeing how we're actually, the 99% of us are on the same boat, and we have to have a schedule of all bailing, at least bailing ourselves out so that we stay afloat.
Mm-hmm.
As it's like pouring rain from Joaquin, and Joaquin is like still many, many miles from D.C., where we need bail out of water this weekend out of here.
Yeah, I do think it's important though that we do make sure the right information gets put out there. I don't think we're just going to go, oh, kids will be kids, because first of all, that's, you know, kind of rude to them, because that's, you know, very condescending. And I think also that we need to put out the right information, because, you know, that's not really fair to them if people walk around, you know, saying the misinformation, because it causes a lot of hate and discontent that doesn't need to be there. So I think it's very important that, you know, we try to educate as much as possible. So,
well, it's History Month, so we need to be talking about our history.
Yes, let's do History Month. We're going to do History Month this month, okay?
I'm all for it.
Sounds good to me. How about you, John?
Yeah, I'm in. I mean, I'm already in. I'm doing stuff right now, working on it.
Awesome. Trev, you're welcome to join us.
In fact, I was just about to say, expect me to write a few articles about LGBT history, especially the B and the T, because I don't think they get mentioned enough. See Stonewall for details.
Yay. We hear you. That'd be great. Let's go ahead and wrap up. Anything else anybody wants to add?
I think I'm good.
Nope.
I think I'm good, too. It's been a great year this year. I can't wait to see what happens in the next year. I just want to remind you all, you're not wrong. You're not broken. You are definitely not alone. You are a human being, and you are bisexual and pansexual and polysexual and trans and genderqueer, and you're everything wonderful. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
The views expressed on the Bicast do not necessarily represent those of Binet USA or the Bicast crew.
Nip it back.